Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Tes, the second parak in Dorshin. The Zichu Maseches Chagiga program has been generously sponsored by Nishmas Avram Ber Ben Asher and Nishmas Tamar Bas Chaim. But then the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on, number one, on the bottom of Daf Yud Ches on the base, Rav Nachman resolved conflicting braises regarding whether when washing his hands must have kavana to purify them. He explained that the second braise, which states that they are tahor without kavana, is referring to a person purifying his hands for chulin, which does not require kavana. And the first braise was referring to one purifying his hands for maaser sheni, which does require kavana. After the Gemara rejects the first source that supports Rav Nachman's distinction that chulin does not require kavana, it brings the mission that taught, Perosh enough with tok amas amayim, upashim misha yadav tameos in natalan. If produce fell into a water channel, and one whose hands were tame reached into the water and took them, yadav tahoros uperos enum v'chiyutan. His hands are tahor, even though he did not have kavana to purify his hands, and the produce is not in the category of, if water was placed, to make it susceptible to be makabel tuma. Water is only makshir food when the person wanted the food to become wet. But if he reached into the water to rinse his hands are tahor and the produce is susceptible to be makabel tuma. Rashi explains that since he's putting his hands in the water to wash them, he does approve of the water on the fruit. We see from these two cases that purifying oneself for chulin does not require kavana. Pointing to the Gemara brought a brace of the Tat, Odeh Raglu Achas B'mayim, that if one still has one foot in the water of a mikveh, it's considered as if he's still immersing and he may change his kavana to an even higher kedusha. The Gemara asks, who is the Tana that taught this? And Rabbi Padas says that it's Rabbi Yehuda, for we learn in the Mishnah Mikvos, if a mikveh was measured and it contained exactly 40 saw, and two people immersed in it, one after the other, the first one is tahor, and the second one is tamei. Rashi explains that since some of the water was on the body of the first person when he left, the second person is immersing a mikveh with less than 40 saw. Rav Yehuda said, Im ha'yiragu shel rishon nogas mamayim, af hasheni tahor. If the feet of the first one were still touching the water, when the second person immersed, the second one is also tahor. Rav Yehuda bases his rule on the concept of good achis, which allows one to view an object as if it's extending downward. In this case, the water on the first person's body would be extending downward into the mikveh, giving it the requisite 40 saw. Rabbi Padas assumes that Rav Yehuda would also hold of good asik, which allows us to view an object as extending and raising. Therefore, if one still has one foot in the water of the mikveh, the water of the mikveh would be viewed as extending upward and connecting to the water on his body. It would then be considered as if the person is completely submerged in the water of the mikveh. And point number three, Ula asked Rabbi Yochanan whether Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of good achis, holds of good asik as well. Rabbi Yochanan replied that it was taught in the Braisa that if there were three holes containing water on a slope of a valley, and the upper and lower holes contained 20 saw each, and the middle one contained 40 saw, and a rush of rainwater connects them all. Rav Yehuda said that Rav Meir used to say, Matbil be'elyon, one may immerse in the upper hole, indicating that Rav Meir holds of good asik and seems to prove that Rav Yehuda holds of it as well. When Rav Yochanan was presented with a second braisa, where Rav Yehuda says that he disagrees with Rav Meir and holds that one may only immerse in the lower one, Rav Yochanan said to Ula, Itanya, Tanya, if it was taught specifically in a braisa, it was taught, and I retract my proof. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, on the bottom daf, Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rav Nachman resolved conflicting braises regarding whether when washing his hands must have kavana to purify them. He explained that the second braise, which states that they are tahor without kavana, is referring to a person purifying his hands for chulin, which does not require kavana. And the first braise was referring to one purifying his hands for maaser sheni, which does require kavana. After the Gemara rejects the first source that supports Rav Nachman's distinction that chulin does not require kavana, it brings the mission that taught, Perosh enough with tok amas amayim, upashim misha yadav tameos in natalan. If produce fell into a water channel, and one whose hands were tame reached into the water and took them, yadav tahoros uperos enum v'chiyutan. His hands are tahor, even though he did not have kavana to purify his hands, and the produce is not in the category of, if water was placed, to make it susceptible to be makabel tuma. Water is only makshir food when the person wanted the food to become wet. But if he reached into the water to rinse his hands are tahor and the produce is susceptible to be makabel tuma. Rashi explains that since he's putting his hands in the water to wash them, he does approve of the water on the fruit. We see from these two cases that purifying oneself for chulin does not require kavana. Pointing to the Gemara brought a braisa of the Tat, Odeh Raglu Achas B'mayim, that if one still has one foot in the water of a mikveh, it's considered as if he's still immersing and he may change his kavana to an even higher kedusha. The Gemara asks, who is the Tana that taught this? And Rabbi Padas says that it's Rabbi Yehuda, for we learn in the Mishnah Mikvos, if a mikveh was measured and it contained exactly 40 saw, and two people immersed in it, one after the other. The first one is Tahor, and the second one is Tummy. Rashi explains that since some of the water was on the body of the first person when he left, the second person is immersing in a mikvah with less than 40 saw. Rav Yehuda said, Imahi ragu shel rishon nogas b'mayim afishini Tahor. If the feet of the first one were still touching the water when the second person immersed, the second one is also Tahor. Rav Yehuda bases his rule on the concept of good achis, which allows one to view an object as if it's extending downward. In this case, the water on the first person's body would be extending downward into the mikveh, giving it the requisite 40 saw. Rabbi Padas assumes that Rav Yehuda would also hold the good achis, which allows us to view an object as extending and raising. Therefore, if one still has one foot in the water of the mikveh, the water of the mikveh would be viewed as extending upward and connecting to the water on his body. It would then be considered as if the person is completely submerged in the water of the mikveh. And point number three, Ula asked Rabbi Yochanan whether Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of good achis, holds of good asik as well. Rabbi Yochanan replied that it was taught in Braisa that if there were three holes containing water on a slope of a valley, and the upper and lower holes contained 20 saw each, and the middle one contained 40 saw, and a rush of rainwater connects them all. Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Meir used to say, Matbil be'elyon, one may immerse in the upper hole, indicating that Rabbi Meir holds of good asik and seems to prove that Rabbi Yehuda holds of it as well. When Rabbi Yochanan was presented with a second braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says that he disagrees with Rabbi Meir and holds that one may only immerse in the lower one, Rabbi Yochanan said to Ula, Itanya, Tanya, if it was taught specifically in a braisa, it was taught, and I retract my proof. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yud Tes, and our standard simmon is a yacht. A yacht, so here goes. The Chigiga water games on the yacht delighted the guests who tried to grab bobbing apples of Hulan in the water while keeping only one foot in the water and then dive into one of three pools of water situated on a slope with gushing water. Once again, in slow motion. The Chigiga water games on the yacht, that must mean we're on Duff Yutes. The Chigiga water games on the yacht delighted the guests who tried to grab bobbing apples of Hulan in the water, which reminds us Rav Nachman holds that one does not have to have kavanah to purify one's hands for Hulan. The Gemara brings a Mishnah to support him that taught that a produce fell into a water channel and one whose hands were tummy reached into the water and took them. His hands are tahor even though he didn't have kavanah to purify his hands. And the produce is not in the category of chiyutan to make it susceptible to being a kabbal tumah. So the Chagiga water games on the yacht delayed the guests who tried to grab bobbing apples of a Hulan in the water while keeping only one foot in the water, which reminds us the Gemara about a braisa that taught Odei Ragla Achaz B'Maim, that if one still has one foot in the water of a mikvah, it's considered as if he's still immersing and may change his kavana to an even higher kedusha. The Gemara asks who the Tana is that taught this. Rabbi Padas said it's Rabbi Yehuda. We see from another Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda holds of good achis, and Rabbi Padas assumes that Rabbi Yehuda would equally hold of good asik. So the Chagiga water games on the yacht delighted the guests who tried to grab bobbing apples of Hulan in the water while keeping only one foot in the water and then dive into one of three pools of water situated on a slope with gushing water. Which reminds us, Ula asked Rabbi Yochanan whether Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of good achis, holds of good asik as well. Rabbi Yochanan replied that it was taught in a braisa that if there were three holes containing water on a slope of a valley and the upper and lower holes contained 20 saw each, and the middle one contained 40 saw, and a rush of rainwater connects them all, Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Meir used to say, Matbil be'elyona, one may immerse in the upper hole, indicating that Rabbi Meir holds of good asik and seems to prove that Rabbi Yehuda holds of it as well. When Rabbi Yochanan was presented with the second braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says that he disagrees with Rabbi Meir and holds that one may only immerse in the lower one, Rabbi Yochanan said to Ula, Itanya, Tanya, if it was taught specifically in a braisa, it was taught, and I retract my proof. So once again, the Chigiga water games on the yacht delighted the guests who tried to grab bobbing apples of Hulan in the water while keeping only one foot in the water and then dive into one of three pools of water situated on a slope with gushing water. All right, now it's time for a four-blah back chazar. Daf Tezvav. So the Simmer Daf Tezvav is related to Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The wayward sage who pulled out radishes on Shabbos and put them in his fruit bowl. That must be more on Daf Tezvav, too, Tu B'Shvat. The wayward sage who pulled out radishes on Shabbos and put them in his fruit bowl, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that what caused the Acher to lead a life of sin was seeing a malch sitting in Shemayim, which led him to think that there are two authorities in Shemayim, and that he demonstrated to Aharot that he was no longer the great Elisha ben Avuya by pulling out radishes on Shabbos. So the wayward sage who pulled out radishes on Shabbos and put them in his fruit bowl while getting annoyed by children reciting psukim to him, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa there was an incident with Acher who was riding on a horse on Shabbos and Rav Meir was walking behind them to learn Torah from him. Rav Meir attempted to get Acher to do tshuva by taking him to many shuls, but each time Acher asked the child to recite the pasuk he was learning, and the pasuk sent the message that Acher's tshuva would not be accepted. So the wayward sage who pulled out radishes on Shabbos and put them in his fruit bowl while getting annoyed by children reciting psukim to him was constantly followed by a disciple who would eat the edible parts of dates and throw the pits into his bowl. Which reminds the Gemara asks how Reb Meir was permitted to learn Torah from Acher when one should only learn from a Rebbe who's like a Malach Hashem, and answers that Reb Meir had different psukim that taught the opposite. The Gemara concludes that while lesser people should only learn from a Rebbe who's like a Malach, Reb Meir was so great that he could learn the valuable things from Acher and discard the rest, similar to eating the outside of a date and throwing out the pit. Daf Tezayin. So the Simur Daf Tezayin is toes. So here goes. The large toed acrobat. Large toed acrobat. That must be learned Daf Tezayin. Toes. The large-toed acrobat who did a demon stunt where he would fly like an angel while eating like a human, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Shishadvarim Nemru B'Shedim. There are six characteristics that were said regarding demons. Three are like Malkei Asharis and three are like human beings. They're like Malkei Asharis in that they have wings, they fly from one end of the world to the other, and they know what will happen in the future, which means they hear what's announced behind the pargod like the Malkei Asharis. They're like human beings in that they eat and drink, procreate, and die. We also learned there are six characteristics said about human beings. Three are like the Malkei Asharis, and three are like animals. So the large-toed acrobat who did a demon stunt, where he would fly like an angel while eating like a human, had the scare of his life when the beams above the stage start talking about all his wrongdoings. Which reminds us, if the Yetzer says to you, sin, and Akash Baruch Hu will forgive you, do not believe him. Perhaps one will ask, who will testify against me? If I sin in the privacy of my own house, the stones and beams in one's house will testify against him. The Chum say, a person's neshama will testify against him. Rabbi Zerika said, the two Malkei Asharis who scored a person will, and others say, the limbs of a person testify against them. So the large-toed acrobat who did a demon stunt, where he would fly like an angel while eating like a human, had the scare of his life when the beams above the stage started talking about all his wrongdoings, including the time he took lightly the rabbinic prohibition against doing smicha on yantam. Which reminds us, Rav Shem Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, "Lo'olam al teheshvus kol be'einecha," never let a rabbinic prohibition concerning Shabbos or yantam be light in your eyes, for smicha is only prohibited as a shvus, and yet the Gedolei Ador over five generations had a machlokas about it. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Sim Daf Yud Zayin is a used car, and we often use a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman. Used car salesman. That must be on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who told the potential buyer his payment plan included 7 days after Shavuos, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said in Nimroshia, Menayin Latzer Sheyesha Tashumin Kol Shiva, from where is it derived that Shavuos has a Tashumin period for the Chagiga and Olas Re'iyah for 7 days? For it's written the pas regarding the mitzvah of appearing before Kodesh Baruch Hu 3 times a year, Bechag HaMatzos, Bechag HaShavuos, Bechag HaSukkos. The Torah makes a hekesh comparing Shavuos to Pesach. Ma Pesach Yesha Tashumin Kol Shiva, Af Chag HaShavuos Yesha Tashumin Kol Shiva. Just as Pesach has Tashumin for all 7 days, so too Shavuos has Tashumin for all 7 days. So the used car salesman who told the potential buyer his payment plan included 7 days after Shavuos, and that he'd throw in a hotel voucher to sleep over in Yerushalayim, Motzi Yantav on Sukkos, which reminds us, after concluding that the Pesach that mentioned the three are gone to the mitzvah of Re'iyah was a source for a hekesh between Pesach and Shavuos, then we're asked what halach is being learned out from the fact that Sukkos is mentioned in the Pesach. It answers, Machaga Matzos Ta'onuina Av Chaga Sukkos Ta'onuina. Just as Chaga Matzos requires staying overnight in Yerushalayim following the first day of Yantiv, so too Sukkos requires staying overnight following the first day of Yantiv. So the used car salesman who told the potential buyer his payment plan included 7 days after Shavuos, and that he'd throw in a hotel voucher to sleep over in Yerushalayim, Motzi Yantiv on Sukkos, proudly proclaimed that there are many good years of use to reap from the car. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings another source for Tashumim for Shavuos. The Gadim of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Tanna Braisa, the Pasuk of the Parsha discussing Shavuos states, Kurasim v'kutzerchem, that you shall make a hoy proclamation when you reap. Ezu chag shata korev kotzer bo, which is the chag that you make a proclamation and you reap, say this is the chag of Shavuos. Daf Yud Ches, so the sim Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. The chuppah designer, chuppah, that must mourn Daf Yud Ches. The chuppah designer who wasn't permitted to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brace regarding the source for the prohibition of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, according to Rabbi Hoshea. When the Pasuk states, as Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, Shivas Yamim, shall guard the Chag HaMatzos 7 days, it teaches that it's forbidden to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, for Rashi explains that the word Tishmor, you shall guard, is a warning not to do malacha. Rabbi Yonason says that the Pasuk is not needed, for it can be derived from a Kal V'Chomer. If Yom Rishon and Shvi'a Pesach, where there's no Kedusha before or after them, are nonetheless prohibited from doing malacha, then the days of Chol HaMoed, where there's Kedusha before and after them, Kal V'Chomer they are subject to the prohibition of doing malacha. So, the chuppah designer, who wasn't permitted to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, finally fashioned her dream chuppah equipped with washing stations for people to eat chuon, maaser, and truma. Which reminds us, the next mission states, no tin yadayim with chuon, maaser, or truma. We wash our hands for chuon, maaser, sheni, and truma. And the mission continues, well, kodesh matbilin, but for kodesh we immerse our hands in a mikvah. Rashi explains that to eat from a shlamim, or for kohen to eat from a chatas or ashem, the rabban made an extra chumrah and required immersing the hands in a mikvah of 40 sa, even if they did not come in contact with tuma. Ulchatas im nitmu yadav nitma gufo. And in regard to handling mechatas, if one's hands became tame, then his entire body is considered tame, and he must immerse his entire body. Rashi explains that this is referring to a derabban tuma, which makes the hands tame, but not the body, such as a rishon or a sefer of Tanakh. So the chuppah designer, who wasn't permitted to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, finally fashioned a dream chuppah equipped with washing stations for people to eat chuon, maaser, and truma, and embroidered with a message, washing required for chuon bread, not fruit. Which reminds us that more questions whether chuon and maaser sheni require hand washing based on a Mishnah Bikurim, which states that maaser sheni does not require it, which implies all the more so that chuon doesn't require it. After addressing the contradiction regarding maaser sheni with regard to chuon, it concludes that there is also no contradiction. Kan b'achilat d'nahama, here in our Mishnah, requires hand washing in similar to the eating of bread. Kan b'achilat d'peri, whereas here in the Mishnah Bikurim, it's discussing the eating of other produce. For Rav Nachman said, kol noto yado v'peros harzim gasei ruach. One who washes his hands for eating of food other than bread is from the arrogant. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.